WildTalkRadio.com. Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a matter of what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya!
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
It's Monday night, you know what I mean? It's time for another edition of the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211 chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. Support the shop by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use Curry Code Rocket Soccer, Lindsay M. Ward in the Fortnite app shop. When you buy your Billy English or whatever else is coming to Fortnite Battle Royale, the Ultimate Battle Royale experience, and in the Epic Game Store, quiz hashtag Epic Partner. People have a Eilish. That's it. Eilish. Billie Eilish. It was an interesting night on Raw. I'm the producer. That's Lindsay Ward.
It was definitely an interesting night on Raw. This show was built around one thing, and that was the Women's Championship. They had a lot to support it, but the ultimate goal was the Women's Championship. And yeah, oh my, do we just want to talk about it? Do we just want to like open with it since it just happened?
So yeah, we could start with what happened with the women's world championship battle royal. First, in the three minutes before the match, they made it most seem like the most important thing on the show. There was a backstage bit. They did a bunch of them throughout the night where like little teasers and stuff of, hey, they were showing this person warming up, whatever, and little packages. They were interviewing, forget who were they were interviewing Indy and Candice, and they were talking, and then Jackie Redmond transitioned over because she heard you fighting. You saw Liv and Nia fighting in the back. Being pulled apart, and then Becky walked by. She then took the mic, hyped up the match, talked positively about Maxine Dupri, put over the match, and had a grand entrance getting into setting up the match. And then they had a battle royal. Battle royal was a battle royal. There was a bunch of tag teams, different spots. There was a spot where they were trying to put Becky through a table using Piper Niven as the weight. The table just wouldn't break. Nia tried twice. It did not. It just, she landed on her and stuff like that. Maxine Dupri had shining moments. After the motivation, she was talked down to earlier in the night by Chad Gable, which we'll get to in a moment. So they gave her a spot where she eliminated both Indy and Candice. She stood up to Nia before being eliminated. There was a spot where Chelsea Green thought she was eliminated, but the refs were busy with Nia and everything with Becky. Didn't see it, so she got back in the ring. She officially would be eliminated later. But then it came down to Becky, Nia, and Liv, and Becky came out on top as your new Women's World Champion. That's what happened. Elaborate with thoughts.
So this is the predictable outcome. We talked about this on Thursday. I brought it up, I think, where, you know, they could go with Becky because she's the one that last faced Rhea at WrestleMania. You know, she failed in terms of her bid of getting her baby back, and now here's an opportunity for her to win the title without Rhea present, and it's a battle royal. So it's, and the one thing we did not know on Thursday was what it was going to be. Like, I think we were both assuming it would be a battle royal situation, but I don't think we actually knew.
I didn't want it. I didn't want it to be a battle royal. I didn't. That's not the outcome I wanted. I wanted more of a competitive, longer match type format. But they gave this a good half hour, so it was fine. But continue.
I think having a battle. I didn't want a battle royal either, but I feel like it was the simplest outcome. Like, it was the easiest way to do it, where all the women get a chance. Everybody's in the match. You're not like the one term with the long term outcome is, you know what it's going to boil down to, right? You know who's going to like end up in the finals, and based on that, who's going to win. And at least with the Battle Royal, there's a chance. And I mean, there's a small chance, but there's a chance that they're not going to do the predictable thing, which they ended up doing. Becky wins. But you had to come down to Liv and Nia and Becky. And for a second there was a little doubt, especially when it got down to Liv and Becky. It's like, who are they going to go with? Because they could do Liv, like, because you had Liv like backstage talking to Dominic Mysterio, and you had other people doing other things. But it's like, is like Judgment Day going to cost her this match? Are they going to help her? You know, will they play a factor at all?
Which they did,
but in the end, which they did, yes, but it wasn't enough. I'm okay with this personally. I think on Thursday it was difficult to pick a winner for this, because it was like, there isn't really what I would say a great or clear option. And that's what makes these situations really, really awkward, is because Rhea was the champion. Rhea will be a very tough act to follow because of how well she was doing as champion. I'm not saying Becky or Liv or Nia or any other woman on that roster couldn't do it, but it's just, it's kind of one of those situations where you're sitting here and you're like, at least for me personally, I don't have a dog in this fight. Like, for me, it's just, they're going to put the title on someone. They're going to hold it probably for 3 to 4 months, possibly 6, to get Rhea back and reestablished. And then they're probably going to put the title back on Rhea. Maybe.
I wouldn't be so sure Becky's reign lasts that long. It could last a few weeks, because if you want to push Liv's revenge tour as a thing, she, the ultimate goal is her winning. And winning in a battle royal, eh. A match is a better idea.
And I think you can build Liv up for it, and that might be the intent, is you just put the title on Becky because she's the most logical person to hold it right now. And then you build challenges really for Becky and Liv and Nia and several others, and you have them come for Becky while Rhea's out. Like, it's, the injury for Rhea is awful, and I hate it, but at the same time, it's good for the division because it resets the division. You now have a face holding the title, although Becky could go either way, and that refreshes the challengers and the challenger lists and what they can get out of the matches and what they can get while Rhea's out, which is good, which is what you want.
Especially with a draft coming up, you're gonna be shaking up the roster, so who knows where Liv ends up, where Rhea would end up, and et cetera, et cetera. We'll see. But
we will see.
I think this is a more transitional reign for Becky onto the next thing. Because let's remember, Becky's still not under contract long term just yet. So
that we know of.
That we know of. Finn is. But
yeah, Finn announced that.
He announced that. We'll talk more about that on Thursday. Yeah.
But Becky and Drew both have not, I think, re-signed yet.
As of yet, no. So Chad Gable. Had some interesting comments about things to set this all up. Sammy was interviewed backstage by Kathy Kelly. He was waiting to hear what he had to say and was going to sort of listen and then give his thoughts. Bronson Reed showed up, told Zayn he had bigger problems, and then Zayn got laid out by Bronson Reed. So Zayn could not interrupt any of this proceedings. Gable basically came out and explained his actions and called them all justified. He accepted the loss. But then he accused Sammy of rubbing it in by putting the belt over him and then celebrating with his wife and all these things. And then he said he was wasting his time training Zayn and a bunch of freaking losers. Tozawa, the funny man who dances, would always lose. Maxine, pretty as a princess, but dumb as a box of rocks. And Otis, and well, his number one guy, prize pupil, but he was the biggest disappointment of them all. He gave him all, you said, you signed up for this. I gave you all honest feedback. We're all going to help me win back my Intercontinental Championship. And you're going to help me no matter what, right? He wanted them all to say together. Otis did not until the very end. kind of the same no matter what.
This is a really nice turn for Gable. It was just a little awkward because they're all in the like face gimmick, brightly colored, you know, kind of sort of like comedy gimmick gear, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're all wearing it and there's Gable in the front. And it was just like kind of like a jarring sort of awkward visual with it that it's like you couldn't let them wear regular clothes or, you know, just not that particular gear. They had to wear that particular gear, which I understand why. I completely understand why. It was just awkward, at least for me visually, that you have Gable very clearly turning heel and or he has turned heel and you still have the face group. And it's always that weird thing whenever that happens in wrestling. And, you know, it's like, obviously, if they have gear ready, it's like, oh, we knew this was coming, so we had gear made. But at the same time, it's like you could just let them be out there in like just regular sort of street clothes and, you know, he's running them down because Gable was out there in a suit. So it's like you could have had Tozawa and Otis and Maxine just in their regular clothes and it would have been fine.
Well, Maxine was ready for her match, which was coming up.
Yeah, she had an excuse, but the other two, it was like
just their gear and they're in their cadet shirts. But it was fine. Speaking of Intercontinental Champions, though, the former Intercontinental Champion, Gunther, said he wasn't coming out to take shots at Sami Zayn. He talked about elevating the title. He was became the greatest champion in the title's history. But the weight is off his shoulders. He doesn't have to live up to expectations anymore. He thanked Sami Zayn, in fact. He's now the hunter rather than the hunted. And he declared he will be in the King of the Ring tournament.
Ooh.
And he'll go after whoever he wants, whether it's Sami or another champion. He is the ring general and soon to be King of the Ring. Speaking of King of Rings, New Day came out, which was Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston. Woods put over his notice that he is the reigning and defending King of the Ring, and he wants to become the two-time King of the Ring. Gunther said he would reestablish the image of the King of the Ring, while Woods would be remembered as the weird guy who accidentally covered himself in gold. Then they mocked Gunther for not having gold. Gunther said this was beneath him and told Giovanni and Ludwig to take care of this. Which is like, we've done this, but okay, that's fine. We'll have our match. New Day beat Ludwig and Giovanni of Imperium. Leave it there for the moment. Thoughts on Gunther and stuff.
This was a really strong, really great promo by Gunther. You had a great sell by Ludwig as he was coming out, where he looked all worried and stressed. And, you know, because it's like, this is, I think, the first time since Mania that we've seen Gunther. So Ludwig was like, oh God, what's about to happen? And Giovanni was just there. He was just happy to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Giovanni. But yeah, this was a really strong offering from Gunther. We all kind of talked about this at WrestleMania, that it's like, if they make the decision to take the title off of him, that they're going to move him on. They're going to move him forward. And especially with the title coming off of Roman and moving on to Cody, and you have Seth's title moving on to Damian, you've opened up options again where you've reset the title picture and you can now move Gunther into that title picture where he can be a very strong contender for both titles, regardless of where he ends up on Raw or SmackDown. He could easily take both without a problem. And honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing Damian Priest versus Gunther because it would just be two really big beefy men slapping meat.
Mm-hmm. Be really good. But after the match, though, stuff happened. Gunther, Gunther was at ringside. He broke a chair.
He did.
He glared at him and walked away. Vincey then glared at Kaiser, who wouldn't make eye contact. Gunther was mad. Kaiser helps up Vincey to his feet, hugs him, and all this stuff. They're leaving, and you know when something's about to happen when they really drag this on.
Yeah,
because. Ludwig then grabbed Giovanni and tossed him into the ring board and just started beating the crap out of him.
So the whole time that this is going on, right? Because like Gunther and Ludwig had this moment with each other where they just sort of exchanged looks and Gunther just kind of does the nod, right? And Ludwig's like, fuck. Just you see it in his face. He's like, fuck me, right? Like that's his reaction to it. And so he gets in the ring and he's kind of forcefully helping Giovanni up. He's dragging him up to his feet. And, you know, he's like, this is my friend. And God, this is my friend. And you see the reluctance in him. Like, he did a really fantastic job selling the reluctance of this, because you're just sitting there and you're like, do it, do it. Come on, do it. Betray your friend. Like, it's awful to say it like that, but you're just like, for the drama, just do it, right? For the ratings, just like, betray your friend. And he waited all the way till he gets him out of the ring, and then he betrayed him. It was beautiful. It was so well done.
So officials came out that he's like, he's draped him over the ring steps, and he's down beaten. Officials pulled him away, and then he breaks free, runs full out of steam, does a running drop kick, smashing his head into the stairs. And the camera just follows Ludwig all the way to the back, Gunther waiting, smirking. And he goes, I told you I would get it done. Gunther smiled. They got rid of the weakling.
Which is sad. Like, it's sad to see Imperium break up in a way, but they will hopefully move Giovanni on to bigger and better things. Because, like I said when we started talking about it, in terms of the group, right, in terms of the three, you have Gunther, who's a standalone, and then you have Ludwig, who really does have the potential to just be big, because he's that perfect, smarmy, cocky heel that you just really want to punch in the face. No offense to him, but that's how he is. He's so smug, and you just want to bring him down like an entire level because mm-hmm. he's so smug. And then there's Giovanni, who, like I said, he really was just kind of happy to be here. In terms of like the history of Imperium that I'm aware of, and it might have been stronger back in the day, but in this incarnation of Imperium, Giovanni was just there to get beat up and take the losses. And that's really what it felt like. That was it. For no other reason, and that's why he was there. So I hope that by splitting him out of Imperium, that they do something really, really fantastic with him, because he deserves it.
We shall see. So Drew McIntyre came to the ring, heard the CM Punk chants, sat cross-legged in the ring, told no one to look up his kilt. McIntyre said,
it's a little difficult, Drew.
Mm-hmm. McIntyre said the fans don't understand complex relationships, because the most complex relationship they had is with their right hand. And he also mentioned French kissing the cousins. Anyway, McIntyre's Damian Priest used his Money in the Bank as a coward by cashing it in, and he didn't get his rematch like everyone else would. He had to fight in a number one contenders match, which Punk cost him that, called Jey Uso a coward. McIntyre said he wasn't complaining and would insert himself into the King of the Ring. He doesn't care where he ends up in the draft. He's just complaining, and out brought Sheamus. He asked McIntyre what his problem was. He said he saw a man who wouldn't take responsibility for his own mistakes. Sheamus said that someone would say that McIntyre is a coward. Sheamus said McIntyre told him to stand up because he's earned it. McIntyre did. He talked about McIntyre winning and said he blew it all for a social media stunt. Sheamus said McIntyre threw it all away. He's his friend, and they've had banger after banger after banger. Banger after banger. Sheamus said he was there to tell McIntyre the hard truth. A one-armed CM Punk kicked your ass. Or arse. McIntyre said Sheamus knows better than anyone what Punk did to him and how it affected his career. Sheamus said the obsession is taking McIntyre's career down and he needs to get it out of his head. McIntyre said if Sheamus wanted to tell the truth, he would. McIntyre said it was banger after banger after banger before Sheamus got hurt, but now look like it's burger after burger after burger. Sheamus said he started laughing. He was like, "Yeah, you've been good with these one-liners." He said he can lose the weight, but McIntyre can't lose stupid. Damn.
Ouch.
Sheamus told McIntyre to stop blaming everyone else. McIntyre said he stood up for Sheamus when people backstage were mocking him last week. McIntyre said Sheamus is his only friend. McIntyre said if he only fights if it's worthwhile, but this isn't. He said he was there for Sheamus. He's going to be here watching his back on Monday Night Raw when Sheamus took on Shinsuke Nakamura.
Am I the only one that thinks Sheamus's body really isn't that bad?
It's not.
Like, yeah, he's got a little belly. Like, he's got a little extra weight on him, but leave the man alone. Like, holy shit, y'all. Like, when he came back last week, everybody was, like, commenting on his physique, and it's like, he looks fine. Mm-hmm. He's a little thick, but he looks fine. So he's rocking that dad bod. Leave him alone.
Sheamus would beat Shinsuke with Drew watching on, who applauded his friend's victory.
Yeah, Sheamus, there was a good back and forth between the two, and then Sheamus, I guess, Irished up and did the thing.
He did. Awesome Truth took on DIY for the tag team titles. Awesome Truth retained. Good match.
Great match.
We had a sign of respect from one half of DIY. Tommaso was a little bit frustrated, and even on a WWE.com exclusive was kind of like, this is just a waste of time. This was their prize, and they failed, basically. And Johnny had to, like, yeah, he's just passionate, and we'll see where things go. I think we're getting a DIY heel turn coming.
We could. We very well could.
Which will be good. Move them to SmackDown and sort of figure it out, I think. Give them a fresh start together somewhere. Or keep them overall after the draft. But I feel like a more serious DIY run is going to be headed our way. The one thing we have not talked about on the show is it's the World Heavyweight Champion and the rest of Judgment Day. But the World Champion would make an appearance. But first, Jey Uso opened up Monday Night Raw. He talked about how he's going to beat Priest to live up to his main event billing at Backlash. This is when Damian came to the ring. He came out to talk to Jey. He said he feels the Yeet vibe and the main event moniker suits Jey and congratulated him. They went to war last year and talked about something they never talked about publicly, but it was one night Jey whooped his ass so bad he approached him in the locker room and told him he earned his respect. That's why he wanted Jey in the Judgment Day. He said they went out for drinks that night. Jey made sure to mention that he took an Uber. Because you have to at that point. Priest talked about Jey telling him that they were next. He was proud to stand next to Jey. Well, he was half right. I was next, he said, while pointing at the title belt as proof. Priest said that Jey was the first in a long list of wrestlers that the machine would feed to him to make him look good. And then Priest was like, he's going to leave. And then Jay's like, hold up, let's talk about this. You just see me as another tag team guy, you know, the guy, the leader of Judgment Day, because Rhea got hurt, which then makes you the bitch for Dominic Mysterio. Jey said, well, you think I'm going to be fed to you, but you're going to be fed to me because I'm next. JD got in the ring, went after Jey. Jey ducked. Jey threw a super kick intended for JD, knocked out Damian Priest, and that opened Monday Night Raw.
This was a great, great segment for both men. They both looked strong. They both looked great. Both sounded great. The Rhea shot was a nice touch.
Mm-hmm. We continued on with Damian Priest scolding JD backstage. He didn't ask for his help. He blew it. There was no plan. Basically, and then Dominic showed up with Santos. Dom's in a sling. So that him and Rhea both have matching slings now. Dom's banged up. He got Santos to fill in for him tonight. Escobar told Priest, don't worry about him. And Priest told McDonald to handle his own business and stay out of his. Basically, Damien's point on this show was like, I don't need you guys. You guys need me. He reiterated that later after he had to handle some business. When it was Andrade and Ricochet taking on Santos and JD, with Ricochet and Andrade getting the win. Damien came in and attacked Andrade, attacked Ricochet, leaving them both laying. But yeah, it looks like Damien's like, with Rhea gone, it's all about me and my focus, and you guys don't get in my business because my business is world champion business and all that fun stuff. So we're slowly seeing a little bit of Damien trying to separate himself for now from dealing with just Judgment Day business.
He's starting to big time him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Without, you know, Rhea there to slap him around and Finn kind of sort of reinforce. And yeah. I think we're beginning to see the end for Judgment Day.
Might be. I got Diesel vibes from Damien tonight just by him coming out, beating people up. I got Kevin Nash Diesel vibes off of him, which is not a bad thing whatsoever.
No, I don't think so. I don't really have a basis of comparison. So.
No, but I know you don't. But it's just sort of that's the vibes I got. But that was Monday Night Raw. Again, big story of the night. Imperium lost a member. And we have a brand new Women's World Champion in Becky Lynch.
Hey, let's go.
But that will do it for the post show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. But coming up in like 3 minutes is CB Radio Not So Live, as we're going to be talking all things AEW Dynasty, and Brent has some opinions, I think. So does Casey. They'll be joining me in just a few moments.
Have fun, y'all. But yeah, hope you enjoyed. Thank you for listening. Stick around for the ranting and the opinions and the thoughts and all the things. I will be.
Mm-hmm. That is for sure.
And yes, Uwu's
dead. It's officially dead. Just
it's not look officially on, dead.
It is. It's no longer the UWU title.
It will always be the UWU title.
It is it's the undisputed WWE Championship.
Let the good times roll.
Kane Kittens just subscribed for 15 months.
He messed up his thing. He put the message first and then hit the sub button and then didn't share it with his message. But thanks, Brent, for 15 months. Because I think he wanted to try UWU. he wanted to get that in there, but didn't do it. Anyway, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, we're talking the WWE draft on the rack.
That's right. Tune in for that.
We'll preview it all and then talk about it all in the following weeks ahead. Friday night's GM battles, me and Brent go one-on-one in WWE 2K24, my GM mode. We're in season 2. See how things go. We have brand new rosters starting Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Won? It's still going on. Still going on.
Are we
on.
Sure? I'm going to make a sound. Sorry.
I mean, yeah, we're going continuing on. Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, WTR game night. Probably playing Uno, followed by CB Radio live at 11 p.m. Eastern. Sunday, WTR previews. Or talks about the we preview Backlash this Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday for the Raw Post Show at 11 p.m. Eastern at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm waiting for the sound to interrupt. I thought that's what you were going to do, but apparently you're not. Chat.
I did it, but it didn't make the sound, so never mind.
Did you not hit share?
No, I did not hit share.
That's why I didn't make you have to hit the share button to make the sound. So, chat.
Well, then no.
If you make the sound, chat. If you have Amazon Prime,
I already dismissed it.
Okay, chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link Twitch account is called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen. You can use credit card RocketSock or
Lin's M Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag epic partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, LNSWD. You can follow me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward, where I will be streaming Genshin Impact tomorrow night about 10:30, 11 p.m. Eastern, because Father is coming home, y'all. We are rolling for Arlecchino. We're going to go for the weapon. It's going to be pain and agony and suffering. So if you want to hear crying, please come over to my channel, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. You can also head over to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/@LinsWard, and check me out on TikTok, LinsWard0.
Chat, come up in just a moment. We'll be CB Radio Announcer live talking AEW. We'll be back next Monday for the Raw Post Show. Long day, everybody, for the Wild Talk Round. Stream live right here at twitch.tv/WTRLive.
WildTalkRadio.com.